Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our third hour. Two-time Grammy Award-winning Albany Symphony Orchestra begins their 2025-2026 season next Saturday, and it features Stravinsky's magnificent Firebird Suite, Dvorak's masterful cello concerto, the world premiere of Look Up by Alex Berko, and Sibelius's stirring Finlandia. The concert will take place at the Historic Palace Theater in downtown Albany on Saturday, October 11th, beginning at 7:30. A pre-concert talk begins at 6:30, and Maestro David Allen Miller, the music director of the ASO, will be giving that talk. He'll also be talking to us this morning for a preview of not only this performance coming up on the 11th, but also just the season as a whole and how things are going at the Albany Symphony Orchestra. It's a great pleasure to welcome our dear friend David Allen Miller to the program. Good morning.
Hi, Joe. It's so nice to be with you after the long, wonderful summer. Back in the chair, ready to go.
Here we are. We're ready. Another exciting season.
Very exciting.
Well, I think I ask you this all the time, but what season is this for you? This is your...
For me? I don't think I want to admit. Yeah, okay. I think it might be 34. Season 34.
Great. Yeah. That's great.
Yes. My hairline continues to recede.
Oh, who cares? I mean, the fact is that you get to do this job, and you do it beautifully, and we all appreciate the gorgeous music and the artistic contributions you make to our region.
Well, and for anyone who hasn't heard the orchestra in a minute, it's just a transformed orchestra. The thing is, I'm still there, but the orchestra keeps adding new incredible players, and the level is just mind-boggling at this point.
How do you take note of that, in the sense of that it is transforming, that you realize that it's something that you realize and say, oh, this is different than it used to be?
Well, it's just, I really think it's, there's the element of my having been there for a while, so the members who've been with me a long time understand what I want, how to elicit sound. So that happens much more quickly. But the level of player that we bring in, last year I think we added 12 new members in really key spots, and we have a whole bunch more this year. That's an amazing part of the orchestra that we're replacing and rejuvenating constantly. And they are so fast and so smart. And yet, you know, a lot of them are very young and haven't played in a professional orchestra much at all. And so it's really about kind of helping them find their way in. Great, great players. But sometimes I think the wonderful thing about the orchestra is the more experienced players are always really guiding and helping the newer players, the younger players. And the younger players are challenging all of us who've been around a while to just up our game because their level is so high.
The contributions that you personally and the orchestra as a whole have made to young people and young artists, I think is unrivaled.
Well, thank you, Joe. I hope that's true.
Well,
particularly in our championing of young composers, creators, young soloists.
That's right.
And community as well, I hope.
And members of the orchestra itself.
Yes, brilliant young musicians coming through to be with us, yeah.
And do you see that? Does it work in helping build an audience look, I'm not telling tales out of school here. We're all looking for a younger audience, right?
Right.
Does it help in that regard?
Well, we certainly are working on that and working toward that because, as you know, as with so many of the arts, you know, our audience skews rather more mature, I would say.
We're right there with you, buddy.
But yeah, and the fact that there are all these extremely passionate, brilliant young musicians, just, you know, their friends and their families, and it broadens the tent. It just brings more people to us. So we're always working toward that, yeah.
So when you set up a season, and we've talked about this many, many times in the past, maybe for 34 years, we've talked about this, of how you set up a season and what goes into setting up a season. But for this particular performance that will take place on Saturday, October 11th at the Palace Theater, what did you want to go into it? How did the pieces start going together?
Well, that's the exact wonderful challenge of a season. You want the season to make sense as a whole and show off all sorts of different things and highlight different kinds of music and composers and artists, etc. But you want each event to be its own unique and magnificent thing. And so obviously this is the season opening, so we wanted it to be celebratory. So we commissioned a wonderful young composer who's never been with us before, Alex Berko, who just got his doctorate in composition at Rice University out in That's in Texas, right?
Yes, I believe so.
And I had heard his music. It's fantastic. And he's written this fabulous brief piece, but very exciting season opener called Look Up, all about fireworks. And so it's all these different types of fireworks turned into music. Very celebratory, both for opening our season, but also because this is America 250 this year, kind of celebrating that as well. And then I wanted to do a really great concerto, and the Dvorak Cello Concerto is not only the greatest of all cello concertos, but it's one of my absolute desert island favorite pieces in the world. Mm. And we can talk a little bit more about that if you have a moment later in the talk. And then Sibelius Finlandia, a short piece from the end of the 19th century by Finland's greatest composer. Sort of a prayer for independence and democracy when Finland was still under the yoke of Russia, so kind of topical. And then finally, an absolute orchestral sonic tour de force, the Firebird, just to show off how glorious the sound of an orchestra playing together, 85 musicians making music together, can be. Great fairy tale story. So yeah. A real celebratory, exciting, accessible, gorgeous opening concert.
How much do you think about that word accessible?
Oh, I think I always think about it. I remember early we used to talk about balance. The program should be balanced. And I was often uncomfortable with that. But I actually have come to believe that that's really true. You know, you want something that people, you know, can really feel comfortable with, something that stretches their listening. To me, what I'm really coming to post-pandemic with all the challenges and the troubles in the world and with the world of social media and the virtual universe kind of overtaking our actual universe is that I think we're all yearning for authentic communal experiences. And what's so wonderful about the orchestra, we were talking earlier before we got on the radio about, you know, ticket sales and such. And I'm just very struck that, you know, we're in a fairly strong place. We always love more people, but our ticket sales have really come back since the pandemic, obviously, and we're back to where we were pre-pandemic. But I think what's so powerful about a concert like this one is that we're all sitting in the room together, 1,000, 1,500 of us, having this deep experience listening together. And that's not something you can replicate on your phone, I'm very happy to say.
No.
There's the element of seeing the amazing virtuosity of these musicians, but it's also this incredibly spiritual experience, particularly with a piece like the Dvorak Cello Concerto, which is all about his love for his dying sister-in-law, who was dying at the time he was writing the piece in 1894, 1895, while he was in America and she was back in Prague. But these are really poignant pieces, and experiencing them together is just a beautiful way to have community.
How did that become a desert island piece for you?
Well, I don't even know where to start with that. It is just such an incredibly poignant and powerful piece.
Was it love at first listen? Or
it always was. And, you know, my oldest son, Elias, is a cellist as well as a conductor. And so he grew up with the cello, largely because I think Andrea, my wife, and I just love the cello. It has that beautiful voice that's like a tenor voice, but it can go down deep and it can go up high. And Dvorak never expected to or wanted to write a cello concerto. He didn't think the cello was really a solo instrument. And then he heard this concerto by his friend Victor Herbert when he was here teaching in the 1890s. And he was like, whoa, I guess I can write a cello concerto. And then he just created this monumental piece. You know, it's about just under 40 minutes. And as he was writing it, Josefina, his sister-in-law, who had been his first love when she was 16 and he was 24, he got a letter from her that she was dying. And so he encoded her favorite song of his in the slow movement, and it comes back at the end. So it's this incredibly dramatic, heroic, colorful piece. And yet it's this unbelievably personal, almost hidden requiem for his first love. It's just so poignant. And we have an amazing cellist, Vladimir Fung, who actually I played with first up at the Lucerne Music Festival many years ago when I think he was 11 or 13 years old. He's now 25. He's an old man. And he was the winner of the International Tchaikovsky Competition, which, as you know, is the competition in Moscow, the most famous music competition in the world that Van Cliburn had won in 1960. Yeah. And Vladimir was the first prize winner in the cello competition and is now teaching at Juilliard. And he's just an amazing artist. And so to have a young artist, again, this idea of a new voice playing this incredibly iconic work is just very exciting for us.
Have you heard him play it?
I haven't heard him play it. No, I've done other concertos with him a couple times now, but never this one.
I'm, you know, When I go around and I'm traveling and I go to different venues, I love going to different theaters. And so, you know, of course, when you're traveling, you sort of take what you can get as far as what's being presented at any given time. And you look through the program and you see that various cities have orchestras and you look at what they do. The one thing that I've always noticed, and I think with great pride of being an Albany guy, is that you look at these programs, and these are all beautiful orchestras, and they do amazing jobs, and they're very important in their communities. But the one word or words that I don't see as often as I do on your programs, and that is world premiere. To make that a part of the program and to bring new work into the world seems something that not only is incredibly special for so many different reasons, but also rare.
I was up at Waterford, I think the day before yesterday, or maybe it was yesterday, two days ago, and we were scouting some more sites for our next set of free water music concerts next summer. And I walked into the visitor center, and this lovely lady, Barbara, said, "Oh, I want to thank you." And I was like, "What?" She said, "I came here from Boston as an adult and, you know, after a life there." And she said, and at first I was very reticent or resistant to all the new pieces, she said. And now I'm just, I love them. They're my favorite part of the concert. And I really think that's true of a lot of us that, you know, we know we're supposed to champion music of our own time. We can't just be a museum culture. And we know they're wonderful creators making music all the time and making art, and we want to support that. But what's really happened here is it's almost like it's flipped. When we play Viet Quang, as we're going to do later in the season on our June festival, people come for Viet Quang or Clarice Assad or Chris Theofanidis. I mean, these are great, great composers who are living and working in our time and place and are writing music that is about our time and place. And so to be able to put that next to a work like the Dvorak Cello Concerto is just so powerful. I just never understand why some other orchestras are not as welcoming to that idea as we are.
And welcoming, but also, I mean, it's so you have an audience that trusts the Albany Symphony, that trusts you, that trusts that even though they don't know anything about it, they're going to trust that if you are doing it, it is something worth listening
well,
to.
Well, and also, I'm sure they know we don't know what we're going to get either when it's a world premiere. For example, on the next concert, we're doing Holst's Planets in November, but we're also doing a major world premiere by Bobby G., this wonderful young composer who's still doing his doctorate at Princeton. He's written a violin concerto for an amazing violinist, Kayla Wakao, and it is, I just got the score, it's incredible, but it's a really big, monumental, complicated piece. So we never know what we're going to get, but that's frankly part of the excitement of new art. You go and you explore and you find sometimes, I always say it's like a museum or like a gallery. You go to a gallery, you don't expect to like every single painting. If you find one or two paintings you love, you consider it a great success. But yet when we hear a new piece of music, it's either, you know, thumbs up, thumb down. And if you didn't like it, then you feel like the whole concert somehow didn't work for you. But to me, if you find a great work or two or a composer you love over the season, then that's just a great, wonderful thing.
It also, I mean, I you know this about me, David, but I think of a lot of things within a literature stance and a book stance. But it's like when you find a new author.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God.
Absolutely.
How many do they have? I can do that.
Right. And you read the whole group. You want to know the other books.
So when you find a new composer, when you find something that you like, when you find a new soloist, somebody that you were not familiar with, how lovely is that?
It is the most wonderful thing. And obviously, you know, what I'm promising the audience and all of you listening, I hope will be the audience next Saturday, is that I've vetted this composer and I've listened incredibly widely and I've picked people who I think can really write exciting, compelling, fabulous, accessible pieces. And then, you know, you should come and hopefully you'll feel the way I do about it and it'll be a success. And if you just think it's okay, I promise you at least it will be a good piece and it'll be an interesting composer and it will, you know, be a new experience. It's like going to a restaurant and trying a different dish. A lot of us do this, but you know, even when I go to my favorite Thai restaurant, I always feel guilty if I'm just ordering the same three dishes. I want to try something new.
Do you we're running out of time, but I want to give you the full plug here. Okay. But just a quick question because I'm curious. But when you do a piece, you do a new piece, and do you follow it? Do you want to see where it goes?
Do you
have curiosity as to where it?
Oh, absolutely.
Where it lands?
I actually tell my conductor colleagues. We had a wonderful guitar concerto last year, and Joanne Follett is a guitarist in Buffalo. She's a conductor there,
yep.
But a wonderful guitarist. And I sent her the score, and I want her to do the piece because it was so great. So yes, I'm always excited to see where these pieces, and particularly where these artists land, like you do, to see how the trajectory of these interesting
right.
composers evolves.
Well, it is wonderful to have the orchestra back, to know that you started a new season. You have a lot going on, and people can find out about all of it by going to albanysymphony.com. Albanysymphony.com. The first performance will take place Saturday, October 11th, beginning at 7:30, with a pre-concert talk by David Alan Miller, beginning at 6:30, and then you're off, and then a great season.
Can I make one more 10-second pitch? On the following Monday, Indigenous Peoples Day, we're doing our third annual side-by-side with the Empire State Youth Orchestra and the entire community. So if you have an instrument and you want to come play with us, check out the website, come on down with your instrument, and if you don't have an instrument, come on down and sing. We're going to do a little fragment of Beethoven's Ninth and a song from Moana, and everyone is included in this kind of play-along sing-along.
Oh, that sounds wonderful.
It's at the MVP Arena.
Thanks to
Albany
great.
County, our dear friends at the county and at MVP for making it possible.
And good acoustics.
They're only good acoustics because last year we had 40 cellists playing and the sound was the building shook. It was unbelievable.
Oh, that's good.
So everybody should come on down.
You keep that place shaking. AlbanySymphony.com, AlbanySymphony.com. You'll be back for the next show, right? You'll come and tell us.
I hope so. Anytime, Joe.
We always love when you're here. It's
a
great joy to spend time with you.
And thank you for all the stations doing for our community. We really appreciate that.
Right back to you. Saturday, October 11th, 7:30. It is the first concert for the Albany Symphony Orchestra. You can find out more at albanysymphony.com.